The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
I'd like to begin today by reading a bit from Matthew 24. Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, and he was explaining to his disciples about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. That particular event came to pass in 70 AD, and many Bible scholars will tell you that all of Matthew 24 took place at that time. But the disciples asked a follow-up question: "What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Obviously, the end of the world didn't come in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, so what Jesus said next, I believe, relates to the very last days, or as Scripture says, the end of the world, Jesus' second coming. Let's read together verses 4 through 12. "And Jesus said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." This area of Scripture shows a progression of war, starvation, disease, and catastrophic weather events and earthquakes. These things have been going on since Christ spoke those words. But then comes unprecedented persecution of Christ followers. Many are now profoundly offended by the Word of God. There will be betrayal and hatred. There will be lies and deception by false prophets. And because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold. This, I believe, is where we're at in the timeline of history today. Also read Luke's account in chapter 21. "I've never seen so much hatred and violence as we have in today's world. Let's look a little deeper by going to 2 Timothy 3. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." Folks, this reads like today's headlines, and today's headlines make me sick when I see the incredible hatred, evil, and violence taking place and getting little to no so-called news coverage because these things have become so commonplace. The new normal, as they say. I want to share with you a few stories that have come across my desk in just the past week or so. These stories are not pleasant, but they're real, even though it's doubtful you heard much of anything about them from the mainstream press. This first one goes back to 2023, but the mother was finally just recently sentenced to 60 years in prison. This Florida mother allowed her boyfriend to repeatedly beat and torture her 5-year-old son. When finally rescued, video footage from inside the home showed the mother and boyfriend had kept the boy handcuffed, his hands behind his back, repeatedly, for up to a day at a time. He was kept in a dog cage and deprived of food. He was beaten with sticks, kicked, and punched. In one video, the mother commands the boy to stand up straight as he's bound, kept in a dog cage, and being tormented. The 5-year-old had at least 46 visible injuries when he was finally rescued, as well as internal injuries and a fractured skull. Another child in the home was forced to drink boiling water, sprayed with boiling water, and beaten with several household objects. A third child in the home was starved and received no care for a serious medical condition. Just recently, a Wisconsin man was sentenced to prison. Here's what happened. In 2021, when he was 16 years old, his teenage girlfriend gave birth to a baby girl in a bathtub. He then took the naked baby out to the woods and buried her in the snow. As he turned to leave, he heard the baby crying, so he went back and shot the newborn twice in the head. Last month, a 38-year-old New Mexico woman gave birth in a portable toilet at a park and then threw the baby into the holding tank and watched the baby drowned. And on March 6th, a 20-year-old woman in Florida gave birth to a baby girl in a toilet. She watched and saw the baby alive and crying in the toilet until the crying stopped. Then she put the baby in a duffel bag and went about her day as usual, even participating in a college theater performance, then returned home and buried her baby in the backyard. In Michigan, a 35-year-old mother was just arrested and charged with 2 counts of child abandonment, 4 counts of child abuse, and lying to police. After a neighbor called police for a welfare check at the home, they found the woman's 2 special needs children had been left alone for several days. Police reported the home was covered in trash so badly it was difficult to walk through. The walls were smeared with human waste. A faucet had been left running and was overflowing onto the floor, and one of the young boys was eating raw, spoiled meat. In Idaho, a couple has been arrested for abusing their 7-year-old daughter in public during a visit to an aquarium. Video footage from the facility shows the parents beating the child continuously as they dragged her around the aquarium, and the father using his shoulder to slam his daughter's head into a metal electrical box at least 3 times. Now on to West Virginia, where a 35-year-old man was arrested and charged with first-degree murder for killing his wife and leaving her on the porch of their home covered with a blanket. The couple's 2-year-old child witnessed his mother being murdered. In Alabama, an illegal immigrant was just arrested for the attempted murder of his wife by strangulation while he was under the influence of narcotics. The couple's 13-year-old son intervened to save his mother, punching the man in the face until he was unconscious. In California, a 16-year-old boy shot and killed his father while the father was violently attacking his mother. An 11-year-old Pennsylvania boy is being charged as an adult after allegedly shooting his father after the father took away the child's video game. Also this week, an 18-year-old from Waukesha, Wisconsin, was just given 2 life sentences for killing his mother and stepfather last year. According to reports, the boy killed his parents so he could steal their money to fund an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And also, just this month, a 14-year-old boy in Wyoming shot his mother in the back of the head and killed her after she discovered he had stolen an iPad. Meanwhile, in New York City, there have been multiple violent attacks in the subways this year. On January 1st, a 29-year-old Russian-trained doctor pushed a 72-year-old man into the side of a moving train. Subway attacks have increased in March. On March 8th, a 34-year-old man from Honduras, who had been deported 4 times already, pushed a 30-year-old man and an 83-year-old Air Force veteran onto the tracks. Both attacks were unprovoked. On March 11, 2 men and 2 women beat a 55-year-old transit worker on a subway platform in the Bronx. 3 days later, a Good Samaritan bystander attempted to intervene in an argument and was pushed onto the subway tracks. As of now, the suspect is still at large. And on March 15th, a 21-year-old male, still unidentified, beat a 55-year-old man to death on the platform at Penn Station. Also in New York, a group of teenagers stormed a supermarket and brutally assaulted employees, leaving a young cashier traumatized after having her hair ripped out and being beaten in front of customers. In Texas, city leaders are calling for urgent action after teens were involved in a shooting that shook a local community. In another disturbing case, teenagers were charged with terror-related offenses after attempting to carry out a bombing. These are not isolated incidents. They form a growing mosaic of disorder that reveals something profoundly broken, not merely in policy or policing, but in the moral and spiritual fabric of our nation. These stories are not merely news that you probably never heard about in the mainstream media. They're warning signs, which Jesus himself told us would be coming as we near the end of time. Iniquity, sin, wickedness, and evil abounds, and certainly the love of many has grown cold. Our people are without natural affection, even for our own babies and children. And children have no love or respect for their parents or grandparents. At the heart of this crisis lies the disintegration of the family. In God's grand design, the family has been the primary institution for teaching right from wrong, instilling discipline, and modeling love and respect. But today, many children grow up without stable homes, without present fathers, and without moral guidance. And thinking ourselves to be wise, we become imbeciles, as we've decided that a family can be whatever we want it to be. Love is love, they say, but there is no love apart from the natural God-ordained family structure. Only lust, which is Satan's cheap imitation of love. Most Americans, having no interest in returning to God's commands, are complicit in Satan's agenda to make a mockery of God's natural order. With no scriptural basis for morality and no Christian influence, authority becomes something to resist rather than respect. Parents become adversaries instead of anchors. Elders are no longer honored. They're ignored, mocked, and even attacked. God's commandments aren't just a religious suggestion. They're the cornerstone of a healthy society. When God's word is abandoned, the consequences ripple outward, and now we're seeing those consequences. As insanity continues to envelop our nation, violence has become our entertainment. Just look at the choice of Hollywood movies available today, or the video games that kids and adults are addicted to. Meanwhile, social media rewards outrage and aggression. While people are being murdered in our streets, social media influencers and content creators film it so they can get videos to go viral on TikTok. This is our nation now, having shunned God and His Word. We should ask ourselves, what values are we teaching our kids? What examples are we setting? And what kind of culture are we really creating when we snub our noses at God, or when our churches cater to comfort, luxury, ease, and indulgence, instead of preaching repentance and a return to our Creator's design for love, marriage, and family? I pray we're at a crossroads where there's still the possibility of redemption for our nation and the world. But I fear we're in the last days, the days of Matthew 24 and 2 Timothy 3. Today's rampant violence is not merely political or social. It's moral, it's spiritual, and it's unthinkable. There will never be a political or psychological solution. There is one solution, Jesus Christ, and a return to biblical standards of morality. Anything less is a mere band-aid on a gushing wound as blood fills the streets of America. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com and ask for message number 497.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at WisconsinChristianNews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.